Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
2 lines throughout the entire Bible. 1 line is the line of life, and Paul told Titus that we should stress that. The other is the line of death, and Paul told Titus that we should avoid that terrible line. This is Matt Miller for the conclusion of the life study of Titus, and Francis Ball has joined me in the studio for the Line of Life life study. Francis, thanks for being here today.
That's my pleasure, Matt. Thank you.
Francis, I'd like to start the program out in a different way today. I would like you to read and comment on a very important footnote in the New Testament Recovery Version that Witness Lee actually asked to be read during this particular life study meeting that was in December of 1980. It's footnote number 9-1 in chapter 3. It really sets the tone for today's program. I'd like to ask you to read that and comment.
All right, I'll be glad to. This note says, "The positive things stressed in verses 4 through 8 should be affirmed strongly and consistently, such as our Savior God, Jesus Christ our Savior, the Holy Spirit, God's kindness, love, mercy, grace, and eternal life, with his acts of justifying, saving, washing, regenerating, and renewing. These are the triune God with his attributes and virtues, plus his divine actions in his eternal salvation. They are things of life which belong to the tree of life and produce heirs who will inherit all that God is to them. The negative things dealt with in verses 9 through 11 should be avoided, such as foolish questionings, genealogies, strifes, contentions about the law, and factious, opinionated men. These are matters of deadening knowledge which belong to the tree of knowledge and kill their victims. The things of life which belong to the tree of life should be stressed, whereas the matters of knowledge which belong to the tree of knowledge should be avoided."
Well, Francis, an important comment there at the end of that note said that those matters of deadening knowledge that belong to the tree of knowledge kill their victims.
Mm-hmm.
So we would like to really stress today that we do not want to see any more victims of the killing knowledge from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We would like to see the life-giving element from the tree of life, which will hopefully be released in this program today.
I expect we will have very, very much of the tree of life in this program, and I'm with you. I feel we just have the prayer that many will be saved from the deadening knowledge.
We had a program yesterday with Ron Kangas, and he got in detailed depth on these verses 4 through 8. Do you want to give a quick review of that before we go on to the things that we need to avoid?
Well, these have been mentioned in this footnote. All the positive things that have to do with the person of God, the person of Christ, all his work, all his actions toward us. And this is where we like to keep people and like to stay ourselves, in the tree of life, and avoid these things that are contentious and are just off of the tree of knowledge and really result in factions. So we hope this program will be a big help to all of God's people, that they may realize that God's supply for us will be the reaping of eternal life if we participate in all these things we've heard today.
Thanks, Francis. That's a crucial word, and I think we're going to come back to that footnote even some more as we go on in the program today. In today's final program from the life study of Titus, it begins with verse 9 of chapter 3, which says, "But avoid foolish questionings and genealogies and strifes and contentions about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." Let's join Witness Lee for today's life study.
The last message on the last part of Titus, verses 9-11, but avoid foolish questionings and genealogies and strife and contentions about the law. No doubt, some Judaizers were there. Contentions means fightings. They were fighting for the law. For they are unprofitable and vain. These words correspond to teaching differently. During Paul's time, different teachings got into the church. Paul says, avoid, don't talk about, just avoid, forget about. God's ministry is the teaching, healthy teaching, to convey to us God's New Testament economy. Sorry to say, most of the Christian teachers, they have missed this economy. The economy is just green. They miss the green. Some pick up the roots. Some pick up the stem. Some pick up the leaves, you know, and some pick up the husks. And they argue. And they fight. None of them hold the green. Paul says his word is to complete the word of God, that means to complete the divine revelation. And this completing word is just the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ, such a term, not only indicates Christ, but also indicates his mystery. And what is his mystery? That is the church. The New Testament economy teaching is just the all-inclusive Christ and the church as his body. Any teaching that is somewhat deviated from this focus, that is considered by Paul as a different teaching. God's New Testament economy is Christ and the church. What you need and what the Lord wants of us is just that our entire being would be and could be concentrated to this focus. We know nothing but Christ and the church.
Well, Francis, it's hard to underline this enough. We know nothing but Christ and the church. Christ as the mystery of God and the church as the mystery of Christ. I'd like you to say something about that, but it's hard not to also refer to this matter of what so many Christians do today. They miss this grain, this kernel of the Bible, and they're focusing on the husks or the roots or the stems, a lot of other things out there, isn't there?
Well, Matt, I've been down that road myself, emphasizing a lot of husks and a lot of leaves, thinking that I knew something. But when you really investigate this, you realize that these leaves are dry and these husks are anything but nourishment. They are just clogs in your throat. So I'm so thankful that this message and Brother Lee's ministry as a whole brings us always back to the single line of the tree of life, as was introduced by yourself and as introduced this message also, so that we could see that God's purpose is his economy to perfect a group of people by dispensing himself into them so they can be his counterpart and his expression and be the church. Christ and the church is really the emphasis of this book at this point, because God's heart's desire is to have a church that will express him and that will represent him. And he's been working at this for all these centuries. And now we like to avoid the things that distract us from this one line, the line of life which produces the church as the body of Christ.
Francis, can you give some examples of what a husk is compared to, say, the kernel? You know, we said Christ and the church are the kernel of the Bible, and there's a lot of other things in the Bible that are husks or roots and choke you. And let's try to make this a little more practical to the listeners, and so it's not just a vague comment.
I think things that stir up arguments, things that stir up opinions, things that cause us to think we know so much that we can't agree with others and we can't give ground to others. But these are husks that become particular doctrines that are our favorites, or particular teachings that we like to emphasize, that are really not full of life, but really are just a matter of knowledge. To teach the Bible, for example, just in the way of knowledge, is a killing element, and it belongs to the tree of knowledge, not to the tree of life. So the tree of life is really the grain that Brother Lee mentioned. But the husk and the other things, the leaves, the things that are just there, they are there, but they are not the crucial thing. They're not the life-giving thing. So we need to stay with God's economy, which is to dispense himself into his believers so they can be the same as he is in life and in nature and can express him and represent him. This can only be done by God himself in Christ being life to the believers. And this way we give our full attention to God's eternal purpose. And that eternal purpose is, again, Christ and the church. So many have neglected, in thinking they're talking so much about Christ, they're neglecting the church. But you can't have the full enjoyment of all that God has revealed in his word if we neglect the church. So the husks are really all those things that we build in our knowledge about Christ in an objective way, but do not impart the life of God into ourselves and into others. So I think, Matt, we're really facing a real issue here that's quite common among people, and that is their desire, their interest may be very much to be knowledgeable and to be very effective, but it is a killing element. So we like to get back to the very spirit of the whole Bible, and that is Christ and the church.
Thanks, Francis. One example I was thinking of was baptism, the matter that people will talk about the way to be baptized, or, you know, frontward or backward. They'll talk about what kind of water to be baptized, where to be baptized, who does the baptizing, what name to be baptized in. Eventually, you get into so many discussions about how to be baptized, you completely miss Christ altogether.
Yes.
Well, another example is the matter of love. And Witness Lee's going to talk about that in this next section, that you can actually focus on love to the point where you missed Christ, miss God as love himself, and get distracted from the kernel of the Bible. Let's go to Witness Lee.
We have to avoid all the other teachings. Maybe very scriptural, very fundamental, with a good eloquence, yeah, good speaking, quite influential, quite convincing, quite attractive. But you have to check, is that speaking focused on Christ and the church or not? Is that speaking strengthens people to live Christ and to have a church life or not? One may come to give you 10 messages on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love, love. If this one has never seen the vision of the focus of the New Testament economy concerning Christ and the church, he will give you a lot of good, inspiring, convincing, attracting messages on this loving matter, love. If he doesn't have the vision, after all the messages, you will see you got distracted. You got distracted either from living Christ or from a proper church life. Could you see this? Many people today, I mean Christians, good ones, seeking Christians, got distracted not by heresies, but by good teachings on a certain favorite chapter. Chapter 13 is a favorite chapter to many Christians. They just like to have love. Oh, don't talk about the church life. Let us love one another. People may say this in a very clever way. Psalm is a book, a favorite book. People may expound a few psalms to you. eventually all the expounding would distract you from living Christ. It helps you to be a devotional believer. It strengthens you and encourages you to have a devotional time every day and to have a devotional portion from the Psalms. But eventually, those messages may distract you from living Christ. You believe me. And even the more, those messages may distract you from the church life, even causes you to just forget about the church life. They're saying, how do you discern what message you should respect and you should receive? A piece of marble stone, polished, is very good. Let it be good there. Don't touch it. It doesn't feed you.
Francis, how do we know what teachings to receive and what teachings not to receive?
Well, I think Brother Lee has made this quite clear in his last words that he has spoken this section. The things that feed you, not fill you with knowledge, but feed you when you're nourished with the Word of God and with the ministry of God's Word, that is what we need to feed on, and that's what we need to abide by. Because this is what God wants to do. He wants to impart life into us. And just mere knowledge, the things that would cause us even to be so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly good, that we need to avoid this kind of thing so we can be a balanced Christian full of the divine life in our human vessel. I think, Matt, the most important thing is that we have use of our spirit so we can discern what is feeding us life or not, or distracting us by the way of knowledge, of genealogies, arguments, doctrines of every kind, and arguments about the way people carry out their Christian life, and especially their church life. If we don't get fed, we don't exhibit Christ, we don't express Christ. If we get fed, we become in nature and in life just like He is. So that's feeding us with Himself so that we can dispense Him into others. I don't know how to answer your question any further except that we really need to be able to discern what is giving us life and what is distracting us from life.
I think you answered my question, Francis, and I just wanted to add a verse that came to mind as you were speaking that describes what the New Testament ministry is to me in a very clear way. And when the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:2, "For I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ." So the true New Testament ministry, the teaching that we should receive, is a teaching that always causes us to love Christ.
Yes.
As a pure virgin. If we can say, "Lord Jesus, I love you," we know we're in the right place.
Yes.
And if
right.
you can't, you need to question, is this teaching really helping me love the Lord more?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Witness Lee for the conclusion of the life study, but first I'd like to read the verses. It's chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. "A factious man, after a first and second admonition, refuse, knowing that such a one is perverted and is sinning, though he is condemned by his own self." The title of today's program is actually Dealing with a Factious Man. So let's go now to the conclusion of the life study.
And dealing with a factious one, that means a divisive man or a sectarian. Divisive with a sect. According to the text, this verse is right after verse 9. Surely it indicates this division was based upon the different teachings. Some may there insisted the teaching of the law and make that a division. And the leader became a factious man, a divisive man. And Paul says to Titus, such a factious man, after the first admonition and the second, if he doesn't change, you have to refuse. You just have to reject, knowing that such a one has been perverted. This is a severe word, been perverted, destroyed, damaged, perverted in what? In God's New Testament economy. Perverted and since being self-condemned. You have to know, even some factious persons, divisive persons, deep within them, some condemnation. This is what it means, self-condemned. They say they have the peace. They may have a strong argument, but deep within them, they don't have genuine peace. They know they are condemned. This is why they are struggling to vindicate, right? That is a sign that they are self-condemned.
Francis, this is a sobering word, and I'd like to ask you to say something about it from your many years of experience in the church, and I'm sure that you'd have some dealings with this kind of a factious man.
Sadly to say, Matt, I do have some experience with this kind of person, and even persons, in different stages of the Lord's work among His saints to recover the real economy of God. We have seen some that insist on certain teachings, certain actions, the things that we've been talking about today and Brother Lee has mentioned, so that they become, I would say, almost possessed with a certain kind of doctrine or a certain kind of practice that they feel is the most important thing. But it does not minister life. It does not build up the church. It does not fulfill God's economy. It does not express Christ. So it is a faction. It's a factious man that will turn people away by his teachings from the economy of God. Matt, I think what we've emphasized all the time on these programs and all the messages we've gotten from Brother Lee in these years always brought us to God's economy. That is, God working himself as life and everything into his believers to build them up together, to be one, to be the expression of Christ the head, and to be the representative of God on the earth. So if we miss this, that is, if we miss Christ and the church, we are a factious person and we will turn people away from God's eternal purpose instead of feeding them to build them up in God's purpose.
Sounds like the difference between the tree of life, which results in life, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which results in death.
That's right. We have to realize that that tree of death is both good and evil. So sometimes when we think we have such a good thing, it really is evil, and it turns people away from life.
Not just good and evil, but the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
Full of the knowledge of good and evil. So we really have to be careful to avoid the things that lead to death and to stress the things that bring in the life.
Amen.
Thanks, Francis, for coming in studio and being with me for this particular program. Thank you also for listening. We appreciate you staying with us the last half hour. This is Matt Miller. Thanks for joining us today on Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee.